This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, September 13th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, the Chancellor at Southern Illinois University Carbondale answers questions of plagiarism in his long-range plan. We'll also get a forecast coming up from meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, a look at today's news. Former Illinois Governor George Ryan served 36 years in state government, and it looks likely he'll have to give up his nearly $200,000 annual pension. An opinion handed down yesterday by Attorney General Lisa Madigan is that Ryan's recent conviction on prison and prison sentence means he must give up the lucrative state pension. Madigan's office was asked for its legal opinion on the issue last week, after Ryan was sentenced to 6.5 years in prison on corruption charges. A state pension board said a recent Illinois Supreme Court ruling made it unclear whether Ryan would have to give up the entire pension because his conviction came from actions while he was governor and secretary of state, but he had also served as a state lawmaker and lieutenant governor. Illinois' Senate Republican leader says he's concerned about future generations being stuck with a glut of unpaid pension debt. Senator Frank Watson visited East Central Illinois Tuesday, stumping for 52nd District Senate candidate Judy Myers, who's facing Democrat Mike Frerichs. Both Watson and Myers are warning of future pension raids under Democratic Governor Rod Blagojevich. And Watson says the governor's recent spending plans are only the tip of the iceberg, and he says without a change in administration, more pension raids are on the way.
The governor has diverted an incredible amount of money away from what intended the use of money. And he's used it for his own particular purposes. We've seen an incredible expansion of programs under this governor. The all-kids program, a laudable goal. Children should have insurance. Can we afford it? No.
Watson, a Greenville Republican, says he has similar concerns over universal preschool and expanded Medicaid plans. He says he plans to push Myers' proposal for a constitutional amendment requiring lawmakers to fully fund state pensions, according to a 1995 law. Myers formerly held the 52nd District seat from 1997 to 2002. A judge in Sangamon County has been asked to decide the fate of a third-party candidate's ballot position. Socialist Equality Party candidate Joe Parnarauskas still doesn't know if he has an official place on the ballot in the 52nd State Senate District this fall. That's because the State Board of Elections has divided evenly among party lines on the question, which was forced when Democrats challenged the validity of some of Parnarauskas' ballot petitions. With no firm decision, Parnarauskas filed suit to compel a decision. The request also asked the judge to keep county and city clerks in Champaign and Vermilion County from finishing their ballots and mailing them out to absentee voters until his name appears on them. Parnarauskas says he hopes for an emergency ruling in the case, but he says even if he's thrown off the fall ballot, he'll still run as a write-in candidate. A group of University of Illinois students and community activists want Coca-Cola products banned from campus, citing environmental and human rights abuses at the company's overseas facilities. AM 580's Jeff Bossert reports.
About 50 members of the Coalition Against Coke Contracts protested and shook noisemakers on the U of I quad Tuesday, calling on the university to end its contract with Coke next year. They say the company's bottling plants in India are responsible for extreme water shortages, polluting groundwater, and distributing beverages in the country containing pesticide. Coalition member Lori Serb says the company has gone to great lengths to protect its image.
They have a really bad record, and they're trying to use their PR to change that, but as a university, we can make a difference by not renewing that contract. They won't be getting the money siphoned out of this community for their efforts, and we want to not have this money from the university, from the students, from the faculty, from the community, going to a corporation with such an egregious record.
The group says its campaign against Coke has made some progress at other institutions. New York University and DePaul University recently decided to end their contracts with Coke. In a written statement from Coca-Cola, the company says its soft drinks are made with stringent criteria, and those in India are regularly tested to show no level of pesticide. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
A worldwide dialogue on the future of relations between the United States and the Islamic world has reached into the University of Illinois campus. A video conference yesterday brought college students from several campuses together with groups in Jordan and Uganda to discuss religious issues and their impact on foreign relations. Reem Rahman heads the U of I's chapter of the Council on American-Islamic Relations. She spoke to the conference, but she says dialogue alone isn't enough to build trust.
It's not just to like reach that common understanding through dialogue, but then to translate that into social action as far as us doing positive volunteer events together and just civic engagement and things like that as a result of our understanding.
The video conference was aimed at giving Rahman and other students concrete ideas about how to improve ties between the West and the Islamic world in the wake of 9/11. More than two dozen Wendy's fast food restaurants in Illinois and eastern Missouri that were shut down last week could be reopened soon. That's according to an attorney for a creditor of the financially ailing franchisee. The restaurants include two in Champaign-Urbana. They were ordered closed by parent Wendy's International after an order in a St. Louis court which put 12 Missouri-based restaurants operated by WEN America in receivership. The order came after a creditor of WEN America said the restaurant operating firm owed it more than $3 million. But an attorney for that creditor now says he hopes the stores could be reopened by the end of this week. Court filings show the closings cost the jobs of as many as 1,000 employees. For the latest newscast online, go to WILL.UIUC.EDU/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Southern Illinois University's Carbondale Chancellor Walter Wendler is defending his long-range plan for the university called Southern at 150. A group called Alumni and Faculty Against Corruption claims that Southern at 150 is based on a document that Wendler helped craft at Texas A&M University prior to coming to SIUC. Wendler talked about the issue with Illinois Public Radio's Jennifer Fuller.
Anyone that's looked at these two plans will see similarities in structure and organization. That is because they come from the same hand, from the same architect, in a sense. That's not to say that I wrote every word in the plans. I didn't. Each of those plans were configured by about 250 people apiece, so a total of 500 people participated in the detail of those plans. But the ordering and structure of the plans are similar. And this shouldn't be a surprise, because what we have are two very good research universities, one a top 20 university desiring to become a top 10 university, one a top 100 university becoming a top 75 university. And the fact of the matter is, many of the same forces are at work in the environments that will lead to enhanced quality. The same issues apply at both institutions. As a matter of fact, at almost any public research university. I know this because I've spent 31 years in higher education and the last 15 years involved in leadership, significant leadership and management roles, and I'm not afraid to say that I know what makes a university work. I don't need a committee or a person to suggest how those things work. For example, in the 150 plan, faculty comes first. Well, faculty come first at Texas A&M. That's just the way these plans work. Graduate studies and research are important components. Undergraduate academics are important. That is the calculus of public higher education. And you'll find that at the University of Nebraska. You'll find it at the University of Kansas. You'll find it at the University of Illinois. As a matter of fact, the A&M plan and the Southern at 150 plan have both been touted as excellent planning documents, and they are. And that's not to heap praise on myself because I've been involved with them, but because many, many people put their heads together and thought, how can we make our university better? And when you ask that question, the answers come out, they converge. They're not divergent, they're convergent. We know what a good university looks like. I do. And I'm not ashamed to say that, and to say what we need to do to take a university in one condition and move it forward to another condition. And the charges of plagiarism here, and I find this very, very disquieting for me personally, the documents and so on that are referred to as being identical are actually background documents. They're not the plans themselves. The plans themselves actually came out of the theme group reports. That's where the plans are. The rest of this is background work. And I think it's very common for a professional, and I am a planning professional. I'm trained as an architect and a planner to some extent. I mean, I've had a number of planning courses, was dean of a college with a planning program in it, and understand planning, understand the idea of existing and desired conditions and the differences between those two things and how to reduce them. We refer to them as gaps and levers and that sort of thing. I mean, this is all part of the planning process. And I think part of the problem is many people don't understand it. Many of the critics, many of the people that have written about these things in the newspapers have never looked at the plans. They have never read the plans. And I think that's that at best shows a kind of superficiality that is dangerous for this university that I like very much. I love SIU, and I think people are doing it grave harm. To claim that that these one document is plagiarized from another, the facts do not support it, and it gets, I think it's detrimental to the organization that I work hard to serve every day, and I think it's a just a shame for the university, and it's a little bit it's counterproductive.
Let's ask the question and get it out there. The question that's on the minds of many listeners in and outside the university community. Did you take the Texas A&M plan and give it to Southern Illinois University committees and organizations and say, use this plan?
It was on the public domain. We told them about the websites and all that sort of stuff. We didn't tell them to use that plan. The plans are different because the two universities are different, but there are similar processes, similar divisions of the report, because the forces at work, anybody, for example, that doesn't understand that a library as an information resource is one of the most critical components to a quality university doesn't understand higher education. Would it be a surprise to anyone that in the Texas A&M plan there is a section that deals with libraries and there is also a section that deals with our library here at SIU? It shouldn't be a surprise. It shouldn't be a surprise that I've invested $12 million additional dollars in the library and maybe another $6 million soon, a total of possibly $18 million, to make it what it needs to be, because a library is critical to the future of the university, and that's all there is to it. And anybody that doesn't understand that, that says, well, that shouldn't, you know, that was in another plan, so we shouldn't consider it here, it's just not clear to me how someone can come up with that conception.
That's Southern Illinois University Carbondale Chancellor Walter Wendler, who's answering allegations of plagiarism in his school's long-range plan. He talked with Jennifer Fuller. Today should be rainy over most of the two-state area, but AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser says it promises to dry up in time for the weekend. For today in northeast and east central Illinois and across the state of Indiana, cloudy with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms and areas of drizzle. In western and southern Illinois, mostly cloudy, some drizzle, and highs ranging from 66 in some northern and central locations to 73 in far southern Illinois. Tonight, it'll gradually clear from west to east across Illinois with patchy fog developing, still staying cloudy in Indiana with scattered light showers and patches of drizzle. The lows ranging from 47 in northwest Illinois to 57 in southwest Indiana. For tomorrow, in Illinois, patchy fog early, followed by partly to mostly sunny skies. In Indiana, cloudy in the morning, then becoming partly to mostly sunny in the afternoon, and highs ranging from 73 in northeast Indiana and near Lake Michigan to around 80 in southwest Illinois, with mostly sunny skies in the forecast for all two states for Friday and Saturday. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, September 13th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.